Hi there, I'm Barbara Turley and you're watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV, the show that uncovers the diamond tips on creating truly conscious wealth from change makers, world shakers and wealth creators. I am currently sitting in the most amazing cosmetic and laser clinic and I'm joined today on the show by a woman who has basically launched five of these amazing clinics, Sia Hendry. Sia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So to kick off, first of all, I absolutely love your name, Sia. Where did that come from? What's the origin of your name?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I've never heard that name before.
Yeah, it's derived from the Russian name, I believe, or the Greek name, Anastasia.
Oh, wow.
And my parents, because I was born on my grandmother's birthday, they said she could name me.
Right, okay.
So she loved the name. Yeah. Anastasia or Anastasia,
yeah.
And they wanted something a little bit more modern, so they actually took the name, broke it up into Anna, Stacy, or Sia, and said to her, pick one, and she picked Sia.
And Sia, isn't that lovely? No, when I first saw your name, I thought, wow, I've never seen that name before, and I just absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I always love to start with the genesis of your sort of entrepreneurial career. You know, you've had your own business now for 12, 13, 14 years. Where did it all start? Did you start out being an entrepreneur?
I've always been driven.
Yeah.
Even as a child, I was always looking at ways to make money.
Mm.
Very independent as well as a child. So, you know, on school holidays or we'd go on vacation, I would be sitting on the beach doing hair wraps or finding ways to always, you know, make money and be supposed self-sufficient. Very, very independent. Always, always driven. Always wanting to achieve. Always wanting to, you know, do something.
What do you think that was? Did you have like little brothers in your family or something like that?
No. Just, you know, mom always turns around and says she got this child, she doesn't know where I came from. You know, just completely driven, just very, very, very independent.
Mm.
Knew what I wanted from a young age, you know, from my clothing to what I was wearing to, you know, what I'd be doing on the holidays. So somehow I always had that inner self-aware of wanting just to, you know, always be successful, knowing.
You're very lucky, I think, because I think one of the things with, you know, having spoken to so many women on the show now, one thing that always comes through is that sense of self-belief or that sense of being driven, but in a magnificent way, like you know you've got the secret. You know that you can go out and make money, so you do, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of people out there would really love to learn.
Yeah.
So when was your first business then? When did you sort of come to the point of saying your first real business? Not like as a kid.
It was definitely, I suppose, career-wise, I needed to get into the industry first.
Yeah.
I always had a love for, you know, my skin, taking care of it. Although I was very tomboyish growing up.
Oh, really?
So it was always very much looking into knowing that I had to take care of my skin, but never wore the makeup, never plucked the eyebrows, but always took care of my skin.
Right.
Knew that I had to do that. Had a love for children as well.
Mm.
So I did have two career choices in my mindset growing up. Did work with kids, study early childhood, did that for 7 years.
Yeah.
And then thought before I had my own kids, possibly best to take a break.
Yeah.
Didn't want to correlate my children with work.
Yeah.
That sounds,
I think a lot of teachers out there for them probably resonate with them.
Yeah. So thought, well, I've done my one career.
Yeah.
I might as well do the other one that I've always been interested in.
Yeah.
So obviously studied for that, got into the industry, worked for a doctor.
Yeah.
Because I got into the industry about 11 years ago.
And what did you study? When you say got into the industry, did you study the whole laser?
Well, no. 11 years ago, there was nowhere you could study.
Right.
There was nowhere you could study.
Yeah.
You literally got trained up by the company that obviously supplied the equipment.
Yeah, right. Okay. You almost became like a salesperson. Sort of
you had to get trained up through them. So I made sure that I actually got certified through the company so that I was obviously knew what I was doing. And then, eventually knew that, you know.
And was it always with a view to starting your own business? Did you sort of think, I'm going to get this training and then morph into my own thing? Or was it just at that stage you thinking, I'm going to try this, see where it takes me sort of thing?
I think back in my mind, I always knew I would possibly one day have my own business. But for me, it was just a matter of doing what I loved, being successful at it, whether it was working for somebody or doing it on my own, it didn't really matter. But I found that I didn't have the growth that I wanted. I didn't have the support that I wanted in the way I wanted to do certain things. It is a very cutthroat industry, but it's also, there's a lot of things that are not done correctly, which eventually I thought, I can't carry on practicing like this. I need to step yeah, on my own for them to do it.
Is kind of challenged then. And actually a lot of women are leaving industries at the moment because of that. You know, I know even in the financial industry, you know, in the tech industry, all these sorts of things, women are leaving the corporate roles are working for someone else because their values are being challenged because of the way things have been going. So you found that even in the sort of cosmetic laser industry would be rife,
Absolutely.
And then, so launching your own, out on your own, did you, tell me about the beginnings of that, was it just, you know, open the doors of the salon and off we go?
In a perfect world, yes. I think it came down to having support, a really good support group, people that believed in me, knowing that I could do it, having the financial backing as well, that obviously I needed.
Yeah, because this is an expensive business to run.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that about these kinds of businesses. They're not these. I mean, it's not like a lot of people now are opening online businesses or, you know, businesses that cost 5,000 or 6,000 to actually start. But this would be a much bigger business than that.
Yeah.
So how did you, so when you said financial backing and support and everything, how did you, and do you mind, if you don't mind talking about this, how did you get to the point of deciding that you were going to take that leap? And then who was the biggest support to you in making, did you save up your own money to do it, or did you get a backer, or how did that happen?
Financially, I can't say that I had a penny to my name, pretty much.
A lot of people are. Hence the question. I'm hoping that, you know, you can teach something.
I came across somebody that obviously saw what I had, you know, saw the value that I had, the name that I built for myself in the industry. I was in pretty high demand as far as trying to get appointments with me, and I had somebody that was able to see that. And obviously said one day, you know, if you're ever interested in opening up your own practice, come and talk to me. I thought, I've got nothing to lose.
So what's interesting about that actually is this whole thing of, a lot of people let the I've got no money thing get in the way of their dreams, and they decide, you know, I can't launch my own business, I don't have enough money, or I don't have, you know, I can't save enough, therefore I can never do what I want to do. But what I love about your story is this, and I've been trying to say to people, it's about developing the value within. So we all have this value inherent in us. And if you focus more on the developing of that, the money will show up. You know, the money, in your case, it did show up. I love that story. It showed up in the form of somebody recognizing what you had to offer. And look at you today.
Well, I mean, they couldn't get an appointment with me for 8 weeks. I was completely booked out. And then the person obviously realized, this was that a woman?
No. It was a man. Know. So do you think, I mean, I'm also interested, it's usually men who step in this particular scenario. And I wonder, is it because there are not enough women with the capacity to do it? Or are there not enough women who see the opportunity? There's this kind of thing between men and women. I'm not sure if it's a men-women thing.
I think it's clearly being in the right place at the right time. And being open. You're still taking a leap of, you know, faith, I suppose. You're taking a risk. So whether or not men are more risk takers than women, perhaps. Women perhaps tend to be a little bit more conservative in the decisions that they make. Whereas I think men,
they see it's
if they've had that experience, you know, and it's possibly if they're looking to invest in something, you know, being able to see that opportunity come. I think women have that as well, but I think sometimes they might be a little bit more conservative in how they make those choices.
Well, I think as well the way we're brought up, to be honest, I think, you know, it's a sort of an unconscious bias in society that exists around women and money and girls and money. That actually boys and girls were brought up slightly differently in relation to money. And I had this conversation on the show with actually another South African, Marina Pasolaris, who runs a company called Beautiful Minds, and she trains teenage girls, and she's just introduced this concept of money into the course. And it is quite fascinating to talk to her about the, how the girls react to money and how the parents react to them being taught about money. So it does make me wonder where this, you know, this, well, not inability to take risk, but the shunning of risk and money and stuff comes from much earlier on in life. So obviously you didn't have that experience when you were being brought up, and I don't think I did either, but it seems to be around fairly prevalent in society.
I think growing up, though, I was always aware that I would never rely financially on a male.
I think that I had that too, actually.
In knowing that I would always be financially independent. I always thought to myself that I would be.
And I think actually it's important to be, even if you do have a man in your life that is, you know, able to support you financially. You know, but it's kind of, it's always good for women to have their own, their own money. So tell me the first year. So the first years in business, couple of years, can always be quite hard.
Yeah, first three. Really.
The first three, really, yeah. So tell me, what was the greatest learning for you in those first, let's say the first year. What was the greatest sort of obstacle or learning that you had during that time?
Probably staying true to myself and just constantly still believing, because when you open up, obviously, you don't have numbers coming through the door.
Yeah.
So some days can be a little bit despondent. And you think, oh, you know, have you made the right decision?
Money going out, no money coming in.
I don't have a lot of money. Yeah. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So just obviously still, you know, just still having that faith in yourself that, yes, you will succeed. You will eventually achieve your goals.
Yeah.
Staying, you know, setting goals for yourself and make sure that you stick to them and not being deterred. You know, you can have good days, you can have good weeks, and you can have bad days.
Mm.
And not letting the bad days pull you down.
Yeah, because it can pull a lot of people down to the point of failure, where they give up just before they've reached the tipping point of sort of success.
Yeah.
And what would you, I mean, was there anything that you did in those days to sort of get through that? Was it just a strong self-belief that you just say, tomorrow, it's, I mean, I, for example, when I feel like that, I always think to myself, that's today, tomorrow's going to be better. Tomorrow's another day. So I always just try and get through those days.
Yes.
What about you? What do you, recommend?
I think my business partner is very supportive.
Yeah.
And I think him having the constant belief in me as well, you know, he took all the risk.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I came with the name and I came with the clientele following and, you know.
Well, he had the financial risk, but you had risk to him as well, though.
Oh,
you had that sense of him having the financial piece in there. So you almost felt like you owed him the money, I guess, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, no matter what, you know, if I did have days where I was like, oh, you know, I think, you know, I'm going to have to turn this week, hasn't been a good week. Or he, I think it helped that he was also positive in staying positive and saying, no, you know, I know what you're capable of and we'll make it, you know.
Yeah.
We've opened up this company, you by Sarah. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take time. All good things take time. So, you know, it was great. I mean, he also offers another part to the company. So I bring all the skills and, you know, everything that you see is me and he's got the other side of it.
Yeah.
So we merged the two. So we knew that together we had a really strong business partnership, you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in opening.
So he acted kind of like, is he kind of involved in the business or is it more like a mentorship?
He started off silent.
Yeah.
Pretty much silent. He used to work elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, and then he stepped out, obviously, because I wanted to eventually have children, so he realised that he would need to, at some stage, step out from his job role and step into here just to take over for a while.
So you got a really good business partner there.
I had an unbelievable business.
Yeah. And the thing, what I love about that is that there's this, I think for businesses to be really successful, and actually most of the women I've spoken to have gotten this right as well, it's this whole thing of there are, well, I call it the culmination of masculine and feminine energy. So you bring different strengths to the table, and actually you need both to be super successful. So, you know, those more masculine energies of pushing and striving and action taking and, you know, the books and doing things that way. And then the feminine energies of creating community and connection and creation, I guess, and all those things. So you've managed to really get those two things.
Yeah, been really lucky that we managed to merge both sides together, which I think makes it more grounded and more stable.
Yeah, yeah.
And what one is lacking, the other one can then compensate for.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So I want to talk a little bit now about, obviously in this industry, there's a lot of competition. It's pretty cutthroat still, isn't it?
Very cutthroat.
How do you stay true to yourself, but driving forward? I mean, you've been opening new, you know, clinics, you're growing like mad. How do you stay true to yourself, stay in your feminine energy, and sort of stay ahead of the competition without getting really competitive? How do you do that?
I don't focus on the competition.
I like it. Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know,
that's a mum's game, actually.
That's it. If I take the focus away from my own business and start focusing on what everyone else is doing, I won't move forward because I'll keep looking I won't be a follower. I won't be a leader. I'll be a follower.
Yeah.
So I'm aware of what they're doing, but I don't focus on it.
Yeah.
Because whether they do or whether they don't, I don't believe it's going to affect me as naive as it might sound.
Well, no, I think it's... I actually like that approach because I think we can get too caught up in watching each other and just not, as you say, not being leaders.
Yeah.
You know, trying to sort of go with the herd rather than just think of your own brand and your own. Yeah.
I know I'm the leader in the industry. I know that, you know, I know because I experience a lot of competitors coming to my clinics, you know, trying to find out what we do, how we do it.
Yeah.
You know, from copying things. You know, my business partner always says, because I get really, you know, it can be upsetting if somebody's copied something that you've done. And he says, yeah, it's a compliment.
But it is annoying, though.
Yeah.
But it means that you're ahead of the curve.
And we're always ahead. Yeah. We're always one step ahead.
Is it important to always... well, I suppose being a leader, it is important to be one step ahead. But how important is it in this industry to always be one step ahead, do you think?
I wouldn't say it's being one step ahead.
Mm.
I would say it's delivering on what you promised to your clients. It's being... having a well-trained and educated staff, making sure that what you provide is what your clients are expecting.
Yeah.
Not so much staying one step ahead, but making sure that you're delivering on what you're promising.
Yeah.
You know?
What I love about that is that's a real client-centric approach.
Mm.
So rather than, and actually this is getting back to this masculine feminine energy again, so masculine energy is all about competition and looking at your competition, trying to win.
Yeah.
And then I love that approach that you have, which is this whole, it's the community vibe where you focus on what your customers are actually looking for and then deliver on that, on the customer experience. And that's, is that the sort of secret, do you think, to your success?
Possibly.
Possibly. So, I know you have two sons.
Yes.
A five-year-old and...
six-month-old.
Cooper, six-month-old Cooper is so cute. Yeah.
He's lovely.
So in the 5 years, so you've had two children.
Yes.
And in these 5 years, you've been opening other clinics, driving the business forward. As a woman, talk to me about how do we manage that? Because I know myself that I haven't had children yet, but I'm hoping to have children soon.
Yes.
And I do get asked this a lot, how are you going to manage driving a big business?
Yes.
And having children. So yeah. I love asking women who've done it, what do we have ahead of us and how do we cope?
I think it's acceptable today for women to be working and be a mother. I think it's a lot easier. I think there are companies that support that today. How I go about it is I always swore that I would never sacrifice having kids for work.
Yeah.
So I made sure that no matter what I did, that somehow I would always be able to merge the two together and have a balance of both.
Yeah.
How to juggle the kids, to be honest with you, there will never be a good time. There's never a good time.
And maybe
I think that everyone's waiting for that. They're waiting for that. Maybe, you know, it'll get quieter, it'll get easier. It's a matter of putting steps into play, putting people, you know, taking on additional staff, having the support of your family, having the support of your work colleagues in the ability to do that as well. And then just having steps that you can put into place so that you are able to do that, so that you can juggle it, so that you can have the children and you can do the work. It's tough in the beginning, you're not sleeping sometimes, it's difficult. I love what I do. I don't work, I don't feel work.
Well, that's,
I love coming to work.
Yeah.
If I can make sure that I don't sacrifice my kids to do that, sometimes you have to make sacrifices, but I think be confident knowing that you're doing it for the right reasons and you're doing it so that you can provide a better life for your children.
Yeah.
It's very achievable. It's very achievable for women to do it. The difficult thing is realizing that there will never be a good time. It is going to be hard, but it's doable as long as you've got the right support from whether it's a partner, your husband, that your business partner, if you have one, is supportive, that you have the right team of staff to also assist, so that you can step back, put someone into play to do that for you as well. That makes a huge difference.
And I love actually the thing that you really, that really resonated with me there is having the right team in place. Because I think a lot of women, particularly women running their own businesses out there, there's a huge amount of solopreneurs who are doing everything themselves. And believing that they can't grow because it's not the right time. So they think, well, I don't want to get bigger. I haven't got enough money to hire the staff to get bigger.
Yeah.
And they end up in this vicious cycle of being overwhelmed, overworked, underpaid, and getting resentful and angry. So I love that you stepped out of that and realized you need the right staff. Sometimes you need to spend money to make money.
Yes.
I guess you have to hire the right people.
Yeah.
And, I'm always trying to encourage women to look at their... If you're too busy working in the business, then you can't work on the business.
Yeah.
So you've got to get that balance, obviously, right as well.
And it's also, again, taking that leap of faith and knowing that it's a good problem to have, that you're growing at such a rate that you've got to think, perhaps I need to take somebody on. And know that if you're doing that, your business is growing and eventually the finances will come. But you have to be you can't be a one-man show and grow. It's not going to happen. You've got to get to a stage where you're going to have to possibly take a loan or find a way that you can then take on additional staff. And even though the finances might be an issue in the beginning, it's a good thing to have, because you are growing, and the only way you can grow is by expanding.
Expanding
yourself. You know, always make jokes. If you could clone me, you know, it'd be wonderful.
Oh, I know.
Unfortunately, you know, in a perfect world. But
That's acting as a leader as well, I suppose, inside your own business. So it's this leadership thing in the industry, leadership with your clients, and then leadership inside your business that you have to inspire your team to want to be the biggest support to you and to be on the same vision as you, I guess.
I think another thing is women are very much, sometimes more so than men, I think, control freaks. We want to be,
I'm shocking.
No one's able to do it the way I can do it. And not.
Yeah.
And you have to eventually realize that no one will ever do it exactly the same way you can.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they won't be great at what they can do.
Yeah.
And it won't be that they can't learn and that you can't teach them.
Mm.
You know, and sometimes you'll be lucky, like me, I had a dynamic clinic manager who teaches me things.
Well, that's the other thing, realizing.
And can also bring them all to the party and maybe open up doors that you may not have realized.
Yeah.
You know, with their ideas. Sometimes two heads, you know, say two heads are better than one. Sometimes
so it's that letting go, I suppose, into it.
Yeah, that control. And then that fear.
Going to ask about fear. It feels like that's a fear thing. And
fear
is something I think that is, for some reason, ingrained in us as women. I just feel that fear, more so than men, I think it gets back to this risk-taking thing we talked about in the beginning as well. Fear is inherent in us.
I think women go, the fear's there because they go on gut, whereas men, I find, in business, go more on
numbers.
Statistics.
Numbers.
Analytic, you know.
Because the numbers don't lie, and there's no emotion. Numbers have no emotion.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, you know, women, we have that instinct, that internal instinct, and you know, I'm a huge believer in going with your gut.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, sometimes I'm just smart, will turn around and look at me and think I'm absolutely insane. He's like, well, show me the numbers. And I said, it's just in here. I know it's in here.
I'm bursting.
Like,
my idea.
Just go with it. And he's actually learned. It's funny because he is so analytical. You know, he'll come with the numbers. And then he'll say, well, what made you decide to do that? And I'll say, there's just something in here. And he looks at me and he goes, I don't know how you do it. Actually, how you do it? He goes, and he's actually slowly had to learn to accept that as well.
Lisa Messenger, I had her on the show last week from Renegade Collective, and she said, we were talking about getting investors on board, and she said that there was various reasons why she didn't want investors right now, but one of the reasons she said was, she goes, I just don't think an investor could cope with the way I do things and how I roll, and I don't want them coming in and telling me I can't do something.
Yeah.
Because half the time the stuff she's doing is completely
insane.
Based
on gut. Yeah.
And it's based on gut, and she's been very successful with that. So I guess as women we have to learn how to, maybe how to trust in that more.
Yeah. We were all born with instinct. Animals have it. We have it. I think sometimes, you know, we might read a book, you know, for example, a mother that's got a baby and is reading a book that says your child should sleep this long and then do this and do that. You know, kids have not, their babies haven't read the manual. And every kid was the same. You could, you know, read one book and run and dust it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it takes away from that mother's instinct, where the mother's going, no, I believe that this is happening. And then they fight that. The same with business, you know.
Well, business is your baby. It's like your baby.
Absolutely, you know. And I've got to protect it. I've got to go on gut, you know. And
trust in your intuition. Yeah. And I suppose learning to tap into the intuition and understand when something is fear because it's danger coming, or fear because you're just not listening to intuition closely enough. And how do we develop that? I think we have to develop that more as well.
The fear is working out, it's the obstacles.
Yeah.
Are you putting obstacles up, or are they actually there?
Or are they actually there? Yeah. And then what are the, I guess if you look at the worst case scenarios, what are the ways that you're going to deal with those should that happen?
Yes.
And then you risk mitigate for those things.
What's the worst case scenario?
Yeah. So tell me, Sia, so we've got 5 clinics already, amazing business here. What does the future hold for Sia and You by Sia, which is your brand? What's the sort of big vision for the brand?
Well, I feel that I've delivered so much of my goals and my dream already. You know, having 5 You by Sia clinics. I have, you know, bought my own equipment. I do a lot of constant research. I'm always staying on top of things. I've just recently, in the last 2 years, launched my own clinical skincare range, which was
This is the clinic. But I love the purple. I just love the whole branding and the packaging and everything. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. So when did you launch this?
That I launched about, we did a proper launch about a year ago.
Right, okay,
Yeah. Or possibly have it about 2 years now.
Yeah.
And I laugh because I say, that's me in a jar.
That's your home.
That's me
your
in a jar.
Your experience, your philosophy, yeah. Everything in a jar. Yeah.
You know, so I'm always looking for the next thing, always staying on top of, you know, what's out, what are the latest treatments. You know, I'm always advancing. I'm never stationary. I'm not just happy to be. I always want to get better. I can always improve. I can always grow.
That's your childhood. Like when you were a child, you were exactly the same.
Exactly.
You're always
same.
Like dynamic and moving.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Always moving. Always.
I think that's exciting, though. I think it's for me. I'm a bit like that too, and I find some people think it's a bit chaotic of me, but I just think, well, to be honest, it actually just keeps me young, keeps me moving, alive, energetic. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And connected to that. Yeah. So the product line is obviously the
product line's out.
Yeah.
Little makeup range.
Is coming or is out?
Has been out for probably about 3 years now.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, okay.
And, you know, we've just opened up 2 new clinics recently.
Yeah.
Obviously, there will be more to come.
Yeah, so it's just growing.
New treatments. We're working on other things behind the scenes as well.
Yeah.
Very exciting, different branch of things that we're going into,
yeah,
which we've currently been working on. So
I love it. So you're still just, you know, growing this whole brand and everything. It's
and I still deal with my clients every day.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're still in it as well.
Yes.
You're not just working on the business now. You're still in it. Which
I'm
is
in it.
The joy, really, of doing
yes.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It lights you up.
Yeah.
So if the viewers want to get to know you by Sia more, where should they go? And if they want to buy the products, is there online?
Yes.
Is online?
Youbysia.com.au.
Perfect.
It's our website.
Yeah.
We have a display of different treatments. We deal a lot with working. Our philosophy is completely different. There is no other clinic out there that treats or deals with the skin the way we do.
Yeah.
So everything we do is literally from the inside out, not the outside in.
Oh, I did read that actually. Yeah.
Yes.
Just explain that to me quickly again.
So
how do we, because I love that idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always looking for ways to slow down. Obviously, nothing can stop the aging process, but we want to slow down. And if you look at what we've been doing for years and years and years and years, we, you know, constantly chemical peels and eroding the surface and pull away to resurface so that everything looks great. But you'll find that it's a what I like to call a quick fix.
Mm.
It doesn't last very long because 4 weeks later, then you're doing the same peel again or you're doing the same treatment again because nothing's really changed long term. We don't actually age and the problems don't sit on the surface of the skin.
Mm.
Everything happens at that deeper level. So unless you're treating that deeper level,
yeah, of course it makes sense. You get what you put in, you get out.
Correct,
yeah.
Exactly. So as long as we can slow down and treat that lower level when it comes to aging and all the conditions that happen there, then you'll correct change long term. So we do that. I've got clients that
it's
I have
a foundational thing.
Yeah.
It's a
thing. We never damage or repair the epidermal barrier. So
yeah.
All our treatments deal with working from the skin from the inside out. So there's no downtime with a lot of our treatments. There's no pain or discomfort on the surface.
Mm.
We don't deal with clients having, you know, infections or crazy reactions on the surface because we haven't removed that epidermal barrier on the skin.
Oh, okay.
So everything is literally, so we can peel you, but we do it from the inside out, not the outside in.
Okay.
So we don't do our chemical peels.
I've
we
never heard of this happening before. I'm very
that was trademarked as well.
Yeah, that's trademarked, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another clever business.
Absolutely.
Decision. Yeah.
And we take photos. Every client gets proper imaging photos with a computerized analysis system that does that for us so we can actually show the change. And I have clients that have been coming to me that
That's
have had
brilliant.
Treatments and 3 years then just maintain the results and still, when we take the photos, they're still getting younger. So we've created change long term, not just short term.
Yeah. So you truly are a leader in the industry.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yes. And and I'm not aware of any other clinic that follows that philosophy 100%. The way that we do. Everything's natural. You know, I think women believe unless something is painful, you know,
vanity knows no pain.
Absolutely. Unless it's painful, you know, you have to be injected, cut, sliced, diced, you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, no, absolutely not. Everything
so
we
a
do.
A new way is here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's here. And like I said, we've got hundreds of clients before and afters. We've got on the website as well that you can go and see that they've managed to, you know, maintain and achieve those long-term results, not just a quick fix.
So we're here in the clinic in Sydney right now, so if any of you are coming into Sydney, youbysia.com.au and book an appointment to see Sia. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today. It's been a real pleasure. Lovely having you here. And for the viewers, remember you can catch me later this week on my podcast on iTunes, where I'm going to be giving you my key takeouts for my chat with Sia today. And remember to come back next week when I'll have more Feminine Wealth TV.